from the thyroid. So we don't know what's going to happen, but she value your prayers, me too, as she, we just sort of see what's ahead for us. Let's see. Oh, I know. I've always had this fear, okay, that one day I'd be sitting in the congregation and they'd say, okay, now it's time for the speaker and Larry Palmer, you come up to speak. And I'd forgotten, see, to prepare for anything. So I told you something that's fearful. Well, this is almost as bad, okay? Because too much time to prepare, whether that would make a lot of difference or not, I don't know. But anyhow, we got a few thoughts tonight that we're going to look at and could just consider, probably be not too long, but in Psalms 30. So if you'd like to turn there, we'll read the chapter and consider a few things that are in it. Psalms 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplications. What profit is there in my blood? When I shall go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and be not silent. O Lord my God, I will ever give thanks. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Psalms 30. Written by David, and probably later on in his life, or at least in his maturity as a king and a man, probably have seen at this point a lot of life and difficulties and a lot of times when maybe he thought he wouldn't make it, you know, being chased, maybe even starting back as a shepherd boy by Saul and right on up to the battles with the Philistines and other enemies of the Israelite people. But here's David now, and this is what he says. He says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes rejoice over me. I think David here is just thanking the Lord as he looks back on things and sees his present position and saying, it's the Lord that's brought me this far, and his protection has kept me from my enemies inside and out, and he just wants to give thanks at this point for that. You know, as we consider our own life and circumstances, our heart should be a heart full of thanksgiving and praise to God, too, for his protection for us. There's been those that have seen battle, actual battle, and God has brought them through it. And just as David, they can extol the Lord for their foes not having victory over them. But we have battles in life too. maybe not physical battles, but mental battles and things of that nature that would drag us down. And we've seen God help us, and we need to thank the Lord for His protection and His guidance in our life, just as David did. He says, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. We have many times in our lives when we've come to God with physical sicknesses, and we've asked the Lord, just help me through this, and if it's your will, I might be delivered from this illness. And I think David, perhaps, while it's maybe not recorded any place, but he may have experienced some illnesses right onto death, you know, right at death's door, and God has been gracious to him and has brought him back and healed him, and he gives thanks for that as he cried unto the Lord. And he says, thou hast brought my soul up from the pit, up from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, almost as if almost dead, and yet God has reached down and restored health to him. And Carl, probably the good example of that in just recent days, is this problem, this illness, whatever we want to call it, has brought him right to death's door. And yet God has seen fit to reach down and to lift him up and to keep him here alive with us. Now, it's not so bad to die and go to be with God at all, the Lord at all. That's the good part of being a believer, isn't it? That we have that assurance that should we pass from this scene, we'll be in the presence of the Lord, which is even better, far better, Apostle Paul says. But anyhow, David is looking at his life, and he's just thanking the Lord for his physical well-being that he has and how God has brought him through many different illnesses and even unto death. And what does that bring out of David? But in the fourth verse, it's a song. And he says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. He's enjoining each one who knows Christ as Savior, who belongs to him, to sing with him as he rejoices over God's goodness. And we too, again, it's, you know, when you're when you're feeling good, you know, you just want to break out in a song, you know, and it's really an expression of the heartfelt thanks that we might have, and it's good to sing. Some of us don't sing too well, maybe, but it's still good to sing, and if you sing to yourself, you can blast it out. It won't matter. So God's interested in that, and I'm sure he's pleased with our singing if it's from the heart. And yet, look at the last part of this fourth verse, and he says, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Often, you know, we give thanks to God for his goodnesses to us, you know, his provision, for his mercy, for his grace, and all this thing. But David said, to give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. His holiness is something that requires judgment, too, you know. It's not, God isn't just a mercy, he is a merciful God. But it's not just mercy that he's going to extend to people, but there's going to be judgment. And even to believers, their judgment if we sin, and that sin is unconfessed. And God is going to, not judgment in the sense that we lose salvation or something like that, but I think we're going to lose some blessings. We're going to lose a fellowship with God unless we confess our sins and get right with him. And get in that right relationship that Otis Tillman is always talking about. You know, you hear him on the radio or whatever, right from here, he talks about men and women getting in the right relationship with God through salvation and keeping a day short accounts with him on a daily basis. And so David says, give thanks unto him in the remembrance of his holiness. And then in verse 5, it talks about this, for his anger endureth a moment, and in his favor is life. The Lord's anger. I don't think any of us would want to be in the way of his anger. And yet someday his anger will be extended to those who have rejected his Son in his great plan of salvation. But it's good to know that God's anger, as it says here, endureth but a moment. It's something that's temporary. But his love, that's a whole bit a different thing. His love endures for a lifetime. In his favor, his life. Anger, momentarily, temporary, but his love throughout our entire life. God deals with us, but he deals with us in love, and we can be thankful for that. Last part of the verse says, then it says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm sure that David had many long and troubling nights in his life, and we might have that too. And as we think of the night, we might be thinking of the trials and difficulties in our entire life as at this nighttime, okay? But the joy comes in the morning. The old hymn says this, oft-time the day seems long, our trials hard to bear, we're tempted to complain, to murmur in despair. But Christ will soon appear, to catch his bride away, all tears forever over, in Christ's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase, so bravely run the race till we see Christ. Weeping for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We're looking for that time when Christ will come. We don't know if it's going to be morning, maybe morning, noon, or night. We don't know that, but we do know that we'll be with him and forever, since he is light, we'll be in the light, okay? And it'd be like morning, okay? And verse 6, David, this is kind of a, I don't know, different kind of verse here. In my prosperity, I said, I'll never be moved. I just wonder if he wasn't thinking back on his life and seeing different times when he was prosperous, when he had victories and success, and he kind of maybe didn't look to the Lord as much as he should. And he would say, I will never be moved. Sort of a statement, you know. Sometimes we... when things go good, we get away from the Lord, and they're not necessarily away from him, but we don't look to him for everything that we would normally do when there's difficult times. And maybe David's thinking a little bit about that when he might have said that, but I think he would recognize that there's no room for pride in our lives as believers, as followers of God. Because God has a way of taking that away from us. And I think of David's son Solomon. He asked the Lord, you know, he didn't ask for riches and all that. He didn't want wealth, but he didn't want poverty either. That was his request. But because of that request, God gave him many things that he wasn't even able to handle, apparently, because we know Solomon's life and what it became. But our successes and anything that we have is from the Lord, and we need to be grateful to him and to thank him and just praise him for what he's given and shared with us. And he says, Lord, by thy favor, in verse 7, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. I think he's kind of, David maybe is kind of looking at his position and recognizing that many of his foes have been defeated. Those around him maybe not even daring at this point to attack them. because of the great victories that he's had and how powerful he is. And his mountain, therefore, or his surroundings, we might say, the Lord made them strong. And he's thanking the Lord for that. But he recognizes and probably remembers when perhaps things didn't go as well, and kind of wondering if the Lord's face was hid from him. And he says, in those times, I was very troubled. And I don't think it was so much of, well, it isn't, that the Lord's face was turned from him. It was just that David wasn't looking, I don't think, you know. And therefore, he was troubled. And he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication or my pleas. As we humble ourselves, recognizing all these things that David has, that it's from the Lord, and anything that we've done and is only abilities that God has given us, and then as we humble ourselves and we go to God in prayer about these things, that God will hear us and help us in these things. Ninth verse says, what profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Interesting, David is sort of coming to God here, and he's saying, Lord, what good is it if I die? How can I praise you? Well, you know, when we get to heaven, when we're with the Lord, we'll be praising him continually. But as far as this earth goes, he has a point, doesn't he? I mean, if we're dead, we no longer can these mouths and these lives express anything to the world around us that we live in as to God's goodness. And so I think he's pleading with the Lord here, and of Lord, and how that his life can be used for him as he remains alive. Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. And thou, verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. There was inner sadness, gloom, and the Lord had changed that inner sadness from as of mourning into an inner glow, you might say. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. His heart. And then he says, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. I guess sackcloth is something that is worn as sort of maybe a mourning thing or something, or you tried to look pious or whatever. But he says, you've taken those things away, and you've given me instead gladness. And that's in the outward appearance. So the inwardly, in his heart, from the gloom to the glow, and from the outside, the sackcloth to gladness. And then finishing up, to the end, that my glory may sing praise unto thee and not be silent. Interesting thing, and not be silent. How many times I'm silent when I should be praising the Lord? And I think all of us need to be admonished by that as we recognize who God is and what he's done in our life. And be not silent. O Lord my God, I will ever give thanks. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Well, that's David's way he ended that psalm. And I trust that each of us too have a desire in our heart that we might ever give thanks unto the Lord for all his goodness to us. Let's just close in prayer.